This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Battle Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Making it about him.
Here on WIP. Joining us momentarily, Phillies general manager Preston Mattingly. Nepo baby, if there ever was one.
Takes one to know one.
You know what I'm saying? But before we get to Preston, of course, we have to do the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings, which we do every Wednesday at 4:30. We are 2 weeks away, Ike, from awarding the Eagles Insider of the Year Award. It's end cutting time, as they're saying.
Well, I conceded my candidacy.
Yeah, but you did.
You recused yourself?
Yeah.
Yep, we've heard that one before.
Well, I'm just saying I'm bowing out of the race.
Well, that's
early, like in the primaries, you realize you're not getting enough votes.
Yep. That's what you're doing?
Yes, yes.
Well, who was the guy that ran every year and never had a chance?
I don't know.
Ralph Nader?
Oh, yeah, Ralph Nader.
He ran a lot, yep. Yeah. A lot of guys ran a lot.
Ralph Nader.
Yep.
Well, no, I forgot what I was going to say, sorry.
So here are last week's power rankings. Number 5 was Jeremy Fowler. Number 4, Diana Rossini. Number 3, Clay Travis. Number 2, Elliot Shore-Parks. And number 1, Tim McManus. I just want to be clear. There's a lot of national people in there because the local beats aren't doing anything.
Wake up.
A lot of informed speculation from the local beats.
Be an insider as we approach free agency. So here we go. We do have some re-entries into the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. Number 5, his first re-entry into the Power Rankings in weeks, the newspaper reporter.
Wow.
As he comes with the report that Lane Johnson likely to redo his contract to give the Eagles more cap space this year. Now, I guess you could say that's not the biggest scoop in the world in that Lane Johnson seems to do that every year. Will probably be being paid by the Eagles in 2082. But it's a report. It's something. We give him credit for it.
Yeah, what if it does? Shouldn't we wait until it happens?
No. They don't wait till it happens. Why should we? Now, if it ends up being wrong, then it will hurt him.
Yeah, but he's already in the rankings.
Yes.
We don't wait until things happen to put them in the rankings. We just let them report stuff.
We put callers in there when they were just making calls with trade ideas.
Look, this is what I'll say. Oh, at the beginning, we said sourced reports give you credit and activity gives you credit. But if you're wrong.
We gave you credit for Mekhi Becton as a guard.
That was flat out right.
Yeah, well, it ended up being right.
Yeah, and that's why you're a leader in the clubhouse.
And we won a Super Bowl.
For 2026.
For 2026.
The odds are out. Yeah, the odds are out. Number 4, another re-entry, D. Gunn, as he reports that don't be surprised if Darius Slay winds up back on the Philadelphia Eagles. That was his report as well.
Is Slay back on the Eagles?
No. He wants to be.
It's a report.
Well, I tell you.
Yeah. What? Well?
Well, he...
Shouldn't we wait until Slay is back on the Eagles?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. Now, again,
this, man.
Well, this is how it works. Number 3, dropping one spot from 2 to 3, is Elliot Shore-Parks.
I think I was pushing to get him out completely.
Yes.
And you guys fought to keep him in.
Now, the rankings were decided before Zach Bond re-signed with the Eagles, and Ike did agree that he should get credit as he never expressed any worry.
Yeah, but you know? Yeah,
see, it actually happened. He should be number one on the list.
Number one?
Yes.
No.
It was an easy call.
Yeah, everyone was saying this.
Oh, it wasn't an easy call. We didn't know.
Everybody
Howie
was
basically
saying
said
this.
It at the press conference.
Oh, man.
That Elliott exclusively was at the press conference.
Boy, I tell you, E. Give you, man, I'm trying to push you up the rankings.
Number two, out of nowhere, but you recognize this game, this name, Adam Schefter.
Schefty?
Well, you know, Schefty broke the news that Darius Slay was cut this week. Mm-hmm. Schefty also broke the news that Saquon Barkley got his extension.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he's breaking more Eagles news.
And he broke the Zach Bond news.
And he broke the Zach Bond news. Yeah. So he's breaking more Eagles news.
So how is he not number one? I mean, is anyone getting bigger scoops than that?
Well, Tim McManus hasn't gotten bigger scoops, but he has maintained a presence the entire year. Now, I'm not saying he can't get knocked out, but where was Schefty all year long? McManus was there all year long. That's what I'm saying. It's not Eagles Insider of the Week.
I got a problem with these ranks. I'm just letting you know.
Well, take it up
with
the committee.
This might be the first week that I've had a problem.
Really?
With the ranks.
Good.
Yes, it is. I mean, first of all, McManus hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah, he is resting on his laurels a little bit.
And Schefty just had an all-time week. I mean, he really had an all-time 2 days here, 3 days.
Yeah, but you know he's not Eagles Insider of the Year right now. Like, of the whole year, not Schefty.
We're doing rankings. How does this big news that he broke, 3 straight days, Slay being released?
But the power rankings are about all year.
No,
they're
but
not
it's also, but in Ike's defense, it's like sometimes when you're in a college basketball or college football season, you have a tough stretch of your schedule.
Yeah.
And Schefty just went 3 for 3.
So do you think Schefty should be the number one Eagles fan?
As of right now,
yes. And Elliott's number two, and McManus should be three.
That's not going so far.
I mean, who the hell else votes on this?
Should even be on here.
We're the only people that vote.
I thought there was a committee.
There is a committee. It's us.
I'm just saying.
You guys should vote different. I don't know what to tell you. The Zach Bond news, by the way, came out before these rankings. I just want to be clear.
We could not possibly adjust on the fly.
Yeah, what the hell are we talking about?
Well, then, fine. Adam Schefter is number one.
Okay,
thank you.
There we go.
Tim McManus is number two.
Number
three, Elliott should be number one because Elliott said that they were going to sign Zach Bond and it happened.
Wait a minute. Who should be number one then, Schefter or Elliott?
Schefter should be number one. Elliott should be number two.
No. Elliott has not been better than McManus this year.
Of late, he has.
He's had better, but he has been wrong about some stuff, too.
And he's got the cap numbers for us that we can't even verify.
He doesn't even know.
And again, he still thinks he could be a GM.
There are your power rankings for Eagles Insider of the Year.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz in Clearwater at BayCare Ballpark. Philly spring training with Philly's general manager, Preston Mattingly. Thank you for your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Honor to be on.
So we say general manager, and what people usually perceive is with general manager, like that's, you know, the guy that makes all the decisions. But we have Dave Dombrowski, he's president of baseball operations. So for somebody who doesn't, like, understand, I don't want to be the, hey, what would you say you do here? But the, like, sort of, what does your job entail? How do you, like, how are you in that chain, and what is under you? What are you in charge of?
Yeah, so as baseballs continue to grow, we try and split up things in the front office. Obviously, I'm here to help Dave and anything he needs with the roster here. And obviously, some things that report to me, like international scouting, player development. So I'm involved heavily with that group too. Georgie Volandi on the international side, and then obviously Luke Merton, our new director of player development.
And keeping that whole thing, you talk a lot about development and the minor league system, all that. Keeping that cohesive must be a real challenge. I remember there was a pitcher here named Philippe Aumont, and Philippe Aumont was struggling and said at one point that while I'm hearing a different thing when I'm in AA than I'm hearing in AAA than I'm hearing with the Phillies. So how do you manage making sure the messaging is the same throughout their development? That it must be difficult.
Yeah, that's always the big challenge, is keeping everybody on the same page, one central message, whether it's coming from front office to player development to scouting. I think we've improved a lot as an industry, honestly. Like we're all heavily involved in amateur scouting. When we acquire players, we know what they need to work on from day one. We get them into the system, and we have plans for them in place.
What would you say to people that say, you know, the Phillies didn't do enough this offseason, and they pretty much brought the same core back? Like, why should we expect something different to happen this year?
Well, I would start with saying we had a really good roster last year and a really good team. And I think, you know, when you add Jesus Luzardo, who has the, you know, the makings of, you know, he's pitched like a number two, number three starter, top of the rotation guy. You know, Max Kepler's had a high floor in the big leagues for a long time. Quality defender, quality base runner, and there is some offensive upside. So I think, like, we did add a few pieces. Jordan Romano's been a guy who's been an all-star closer, pitched the back end of the games for Toronto, so we added him to the mix. Yeah, I think we liked our roster a lot, and we added a few pieces we think fit with them well.
How do you then, you know, one of the things that that Rob Thompson said after the year, I think Dombrowski said the same thing about, like, hitter approach, you know. But a lot of the players are, you know, they're over 30 years old. So how manageable is changing the approach of a hitter once they're that far into their career?
You know, I don't know. It's probably a question great for them, honestly. But, you know, I think guys always adapt. And I think you see guys like Aaron Nola has added a new pitch. Zach Wheeler's added a new pitch. I think hitters are always looking to improve and get better. And the technology's gotten – and the information has gotten, you know, better and better as we've gone on. So I think we're trying to provide them the right information to help them maybe have a better approach to the plate in time.
When you look at the team moving forward, right, we focus a lot on what the team is going to do this year, the guys that will make it up to the big leagues. I know another part of your job is also developing the farm system, right, and making sure young players are getting developed. We know about the big three, Crawford, Painter, Miller. Are there any other young players that, you know, have impressed you earlier, or that you're looking sort of see their development in this spring training?
Yeah, I think, like, a couple guys I would mention is Moises Chace, a kid we acquired from Baltimore in the trade for Soto. And then other ones, Eduardo Taide. He's an 18-year-old catcher, played the full season last year at 17 years old. He'll play in the lower levels this year, but I think he's got a chance to be a, you know, heavy hit power combo and a chance to stick behind the plate. And I can even go on a little bit further in the system. I can start ranting on this for a long time.
Oh, you're going to geek out. I can see it.
Yeah, he, you know, Jack loves all the minor league games.
You know, I think, yeah. You know, we're building something here that's going to be sustainable. And I think where we're at now is not where we're going to be in 5 years. Yeah. We're going to continue to add quality players to the system. And I think, like, you know, we want to be, you know, the team that's looked at across Major League Baseball, across all of sports, that's the best at development, the best at acquisition. That's not just in the amateur draft. That's also international signees and minor league free agents. So I think we're just getting started, and I think we're going to continue to build on this thing.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk prospects, right? So, listen, Rincon is junior now. People are fired up about him. Turns 24 today. Happy birthday. Is he someone that you see, like, possibly being a corner outfield guy? Could he be in the big leagues this year? People are wondering that.
Yeah, Gabe's been a guy that's been a little bit under the radar. He's had some tough injury luck in the minor leagues. Honestly, some freak thing. You know, sliding into second base last year tears a thumb ligament. He's always been the guy who controls the zone. He hits it really hard, and he has power. So it's like he's a better defender than you think. He's a better base runner than you think. So, I mean, so if he continues to do what he's doing and build off what he's done so far, you know, it's not, you know, stretched to say he's going to impact our Major League club at some point soon.
What has kind of stuck out about, you know, their first camp, Crawford, Kemp, obviously, is up here for the first time, and Aiden Miller. What have you kind of seen from those guys? Is this a pretty big step up?
I would say they're talented, they're comfortable, and they're not scared. That's one of the main things to watch is, like, sometimes you see young kids come in and they're intimidated by the moment. I think with our guys, you know, it's been, like, no fear, no give. And that's what we want to see out of our guys.
We're with Preston Mattingly, general manager of the Phillies. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about you because we got to get into you.
Let's
but
do
before,
it.
Before you, Fritz over there. So you've been on the High Hopes podcast with him. When you're talking to Fritz, do you feel like you're talking to another baseball guy, or do you feel like you're talking to a guy who's acting like he's a baseball guy and you make him feel like he's a baseball guy?
I think Fritz is a baseball guy.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I got to give him credit, though.
Okay, yeah?
He's locked in. Everything from the draft to development.
He is locked in.
He knows them all, so he's locked in, yeah.
Yeah. So you...
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. He got the official, he's a baseball guy from the general manager of the Phillies.
It's called having an eye test.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
He did have some decent Eagles takes this year, too, by the way.
No.
You don't want to give him credit on that? Yeah. Don't give him credit yet on that.
It was all bit.
Yeah.
I was thrilled they won.
You got drafted by the Dodgers right out of high school as a baseball player, and we'll get to the basketball thing in a minute. You got $1 million signing bonus. Do you remember what you did with the money?
Bought a lot of Jordans.
Yeah.
I've never been a big spender, but I do love me some J's. But other than that, I'm pretty simple. Lulu and Jordans, you know. So.
Lulu and Jordans. Yeah.
Well, even though you got drafted out of high school, you did have a college basketball career we'll get to in a second, but you were scouted out of high school to play college basketball. What went into making the decision to go after baseball rather than basketball?
Yeah, I was always a really good athlete growing up, and honestly, I probably looked at it and saw like my future, you know, down the line was probably better in baseball. I was a good high school basketball player, but as you see, I'm 6'2". I'm not some elite shooter, so I was like, I'm not ignorant to think like, oh, man, I'm going to go be Steph Curry in the NBA. Yeah. I'm the only white kid in Indiana who can't shoot, so yeah. I'm more of a slasher, attack the basket type guy. So, no, I think I just realized my future was more in the baseball side.
Okay, and then I'd rather honestly hear you tell the story like of you playing baseball and then going back to college to play basketball. I'm sorry, I know you've told it 100 times, but it's really interesting. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, of course. So I think like you get released by your third team, you start to kind of see the writing on the wall, like, hey, this probably is not going to work out for me. Was kind of starting to mess around with playing a little bit. My high school coach, who also is one of my close friends, you know, is convincing me to go back to school, and I told him, hey, if I'm going to go back, I'm going to give you a scholarship because I want to prove that I can play and do this. I went to Indianapolis, trained for a couple months. Teams came in and watched me play. At this point, I'm 24 years old. Teams came in and watched me play. Pat Knight was the head coach at Lamar University, where I ended up going. He came in. I went on a visit there. Obviously, Pat Knight.
And what age were you at that point?
I was 25 when I arrived on campus. So, Pat Knight, obviously Bob Knight's son. I grew up Indiana basketball fan, you know, like every kid in Indiana. And just thought it was a good fit for me. And, you know, I went to Beaumont, Texas, the middle of nowhere. Never been there before, but loved every second of it. And I'm a very marginal player, but, competition, team sports, you can't beat it. And got 3 more years. I graduated at 28 after my junior year. So by the end, I got to feel a little bit like a chaperone, but it was a fun experience.
Well, I always thought, like, you know, I went to college the normal 18 to 22 time. But as I got older, I always thought, man, college would have been so much more interesting older because I think I would have been more patient, more interested in learning. Did you find that at all, or were you just there to play ball?
Well, you know, I'm on camera, I think, so I think I was there to do both. You know, I really wanted to play. I love sports, but you realize the value in education and you know, people, when you're looking to hire people, if you don't have that degree, it's tough to get into the real world and get a job. So obviously a little bit of both, but probably more basketball, if I'm being honest.
There you go.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you're making a great transition into this field, and now having the ability to evaluate talent and watch guys develop. Also, there is something to your background and how you arrived to where you are that I would imagine allows you to see the athletes a little bit differently. You can be a lot more patient with them and watching them develop.
Yeah, I think I've been through what they're going through.
Right.
So I think I've been through the struggles. I know what it feels like. I know what you go through when you're 0 for 15 and what you have to do to get back to, you know, where you want to get to. So I'm there to help them. I see the good and the bad. I've been through the good and the bad. So, yeah, just want to help the organization and help our players, you know, any way I can.
Who's kind of stood out so far in spring? It's early, but is anyone kind of catching your eye?
Yeah, I think Christopher Sanchez. To me, like, he's a guy that identified that, you know, he came in really good shape. He's got some added strength to his frame. The velocity's up. That allows the whole arsenal to play up as well. So he looks really good. Obviously, you mentioned Gabriel Rincon is off to a good start. I think it's so early, it's hard to tell, but, I mean, won't be a shock to anyone, but I think Zach Wheeler looks tremendous. You know, his first time out was almost looked like he was in pristine shape, you know, commanding the ball, both sides of the plate, up to 97, which we haven't seen in the past from Zach. So it was obviously we don't worry if he's not doing that, but I think, like, it was good to see.
So your dad's Don Mattingly, the Yankee legend. It's interesting. So my dad did sports radio for years, and I never knew it. I never thought about it, but as I got older, there was all this institutional knowledge that I had that I didn't know that I had because I grew up around it. Did growing up in a baseball family with your dad playing professional baseball, how much of that do you think got into you and gave you an advantage, not just as a player, but understanding the game and understanding, you know, everything that everybody's going through?
I think it helps you a lot. I mean, you get to see the high-level stuff, both sides, the good and the bad. And I think, you know, just to me, like, being around people that do things at a high level, even, you know, as my dad was coaching in L.A., I got to you know, just to sit in a meeting with Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and some of the high-level front office executives, and just you get to see those people do their job. At that point, I'm a college kid.
Right.
But you start to see things that, like, you know, most people don't get the opportunity to do, so I'm obviously very thankful for that.
You were a year away from – you were in the Marlins organization right before he got there, or did I have that wrong with Dodgers?
No, yeah, Dodgers.
Right. What would it have been like to have your dad manage you? How would that have gone?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I was such a poor player that it probably would have gone the same way, except he would have had to release me.
So. Yeah. One other quick thing, just I guess, about the job is, so people tend to think about analytics like it's this, you know, dirty word, and sort of separate from traditional watching the game and scouting. Is there a way, aside from we do both, is there a way to sort of explain to people how you take both of them in? And has there been, like, have you gone against one because you see something in the other, right? Like, maybe you don't see it with a guy, but the numbers all add up to one thing. So I think that's a big question, but I'm asking how you look at that and how you weigh it.
I think you look at it as information. And I think, like, coaches are so good at their job. And I think, like, why not make them better if you have the information to help a player improve? They know best. If you give them even more information, you give them the answer key, they know best how to deliver that to the player. And I think that's how we use it as an organization. And I think, look, you're always looking to improve. You're always looking to get better. So I think, like, we're going to use everything available to us.
So Phillies GM Preston Mattingly, can we ask you four quick ones before you go?
Oh, let's do it.
All right. First one, dog guy or cat guy?
Dog.
All right. Do you dog owner currently?
Yeah, English Bulldog.
All right.
Ooh,
there you go.
Yeah. I want an English Bulldog.
They're fun. They're fun.
It's a good dog.
Man,
yes.
Good dog. It's a good dog.
Yeah. We don't even know what ours are. They're like super mutts. We have no idea. But good answer. Good answer. Though I used to be a cat guy, but then I became a – you know, I was a cat guy until you get a dog, and you're like, ah. Oh,
yeah.
Well,
it's
why waste the time?
Yeah. Well, as a young single guy, a cat's perfect because you can be away for a weekend and just leave the food out. Dogs don't play with that. All right. Second thing, one food for the rest of your life, but you have to think about everything, right? Not just taste, health. If you could pick one dish, what is it?
I'm a big Thai food guy. I love Penang curry, so any type of curry.
Go. All right. Okay. One movie for the rest of your life is the only thing you can watch.
Bad Santa.
Wow.
What an answer.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's still going to be funny in year three?
It's always fun.
Okay, all right.
And Bad Santa, is that Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
It's a good one. And one album for the rest of your life to listen to.
Don't listen to many albums.
Oh, really?
Let's go with,
not a music guy?
Yeah, let's go with 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That's a good one, too. There you go.
I like that.
All right. Well, good luck with this season. As we just told Bryce, we're expecting a lot, and we'll continue to expect a lot. So plan for 5 years from now as well. But we appreciate your time today.
No, thanks for having me on.
There he is, Preston Mattingly, the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Coming up next is everyone's favorite. By the way, Preston Mattingly, is he a recurring guest on High Hopes?
Yeah. Once or twice a year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Bryce,
look at this big dog over here.
Listen, only the big guests.
Wow. Only look at this big dog over here.
Listen, I'm just trying to keep up with your little podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, try to keep up. what is coming up in the top five at five?
The funniest things that happened in the last day.
Oh, again? You have five more?
I was able to find five, including.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable. It's actually not our trip related. The couple is trip related. Unbelievable audio from the morning show this morning, and a disgrace to Cincinnati.
Whoa.
And the station. We will break down that audio coming up next of one of our favorites.
Wow, that is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike and Spike and Fritz.